pinball standpoint, I said, okay, the basic layout of the playfield should not be radically different from what the original one was. This is essentially the starting point of every pinball game. Two flippers. This blue line represents the footprint of that flipper. We typically begin by putting the ball from the ball trough into the shooter lane. The designer has the ability to do anything he wants. If he wanted to, he could take the ball and have the ball delivered directly to a flipper. Games that do this very quickly are games that are difficult. The player has very little time to respond. That's something that I typically don't do. Most games bring the ball around. There would be a series of gates that would stop it, and then two lanes. The ball will bounce around up here, and whichever lane it goes down, that illuminates that light. The next time the ball enters the play field, you want to complete that light sequence.
Pinball is about a sort of satisfying feeling when you're playing the game, when you're flipping it up, flipping at the ball.
People would say, you know, this shot feels bad. Well, now think about this. How does it feel bad? What feels bad about it? You're standing in front of a wooden box. Your connection to this wooden box are your hands touching buttons. Where's the feel come in? It's a combination of visual and audio things that in turn make the player feel that shot is a good shot. When do we sense that the ball is on the ramp and therefore trigger an event? How much time does it take the ball to go up that ramp and come back around to the player?
All of those things are called the kinetics of a game. And the kinetics of a game are largely responsible for how you perceive what's going on inside the game while you're flipping it.
These three magenta circles represent jet bumpers. It's essentially a bumper that randomizes the action of the ball. We rack up some minimal score for that, but it gives the player some pause to consider where the ball is coming from. The ball would drain out along this lane and typically come down to the left flipper.
This is the flipper spacing, and I did a study on this because we wanted Revenge from Mars to be an easy game to play. My spacing is 6 3/4 of an inch apart from center of the flipper to center of the flipper. That means that the space between the flippers to drain the ball is roughly 1/8 of an inch greater than the diameter of the ball. And people have in their heads, they imagine that it's this huge sewer.
Everything in the game is designed to reward him the further he gets into the game, make him feel like a hero. We should be going crazy with the lights. The music should come up. The energy of the game, the display should be going nuts. All of those things should be giving the feedback to the player that, wow, look at what I just did. That's what a well-designed game does.
Another hot topic was art on the side of the cabinets. A convertible system should have generic art. It should have said Pinball 2000 and whatever is in the box and on the glass. That's what the game was. Some of my very best people all were adamant that, you know, we have to come out with something that looks great for Revenge from Mars, to get Revenge from Mars on the map, to float the system, to live to tomorrow, to have a system that has generic art on it.
Secrecy was critical to ensuring that Revenge from Mars make as big a splash as possible when it hit the market. But Williams also wanted to keep their plans secret from their only competitor, Sega Pinball, to keep them from copying the new design. Williams even farmed out parts to multiple suppliers so that no one vendor saw more than a single piece of the puzzle. But despite all the precautions, rumor leaked out to Sega that something big was happening.
It kind of cracked me up. At Pinball Expo's show in Chicago, on one of their games, Dot Matrix display, they had this backwards image of this text that said, "Can you read this?" And so basically, it was like kind of them poking fun at us, that like, hey, you know what's going on with you guys. And I'm sure they were scared. They weren't leaders, they were followers.
Based on the patents that were written and a lot of other things, it would have been difficult for someone to attempt to mimic what was being done. Not impossible, but difficult. I mean, first of all, the amount of resources it takes to design a Pin2K game is enormous. You instantly double the size of a game team. You don't just need a complete mechanical pinball team, you need a mechanical pinball team and you need a video team.
After 18 months of effort, The game was coming together.
They brought in our distributor from Germany. His name was Hans Rosenzweig from Nova. Nova bought about 40% of our product, and they were the 800-pound gorilla customer. And really, as Nova went, Williams went. They brought Hans in, and we showed him the Revenge from Mars in progress and waved our hands a lot about the types of things the game was going to do, as well as showing how the platform and system worked. He was speechless. He was absolutely speechless. He thought it was just the most wonderful thing he had seen. That year, for the first time of decades of working with him, I got a personal Christmas card from him, which on the bottom said, "Thank you for Pinball 2000.